Welcome to the Donna Sebo Show. Donna is an international mental practitioner, award-winning author, counselor, speaker, teacher, and radio TV personality. Dedicated to empowering others through her mental skills, she also features authors and experts from all over the world to share their knowledge and experience with you, the listening audience. Now, let's join Donna and her guests. Here's Donna.
Hi, this is Donna Sebo. Welcome to an hour of Mind Power. We have got a subject that all of us are going to have an interest in. What is that? Try two words, mental literacy. We are going to be talking with Michael Gelb, and his book, along with his associate, Kelly Howell, they put together this book, Brain Power, Improve Your Mind as You Age. Michael, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much.
I had the chuckle when I first got this book because I read where you could become like another Leonardo da Vinci, and I go, do I really want to think like Leonardo? I don't know that I want to think like Leonardo, but I knew what the point was, and that is activating the genius that's within all of us. What got you interested, Michael? You've been involved with genius thinking. You have really loved being a development process individual that goes for creative thinking. You like talking to leaders. You've been with all kinds of companies. Why is this so significant to you? What was it that made you say, I want to discover the genius in people?
Well, when I was a child, my heroes were Superman and Leonardo da Vinci.
And I like that combination.
It's a good combo. And then, of course, then I realized that Superman was only a comic book character, but Leonardo da Vinci was real. And the more I learned about him, the more he seemed to embody all of our human potential. So I literally went to the place where he was born and the place where he died. I walked his footsteps, and I read all his notebooks over and over again. I started dreaming about him, and from those dreams, I came up with these seven principles for thinking like Leonardo. I published a book in 1998 called How to Think Like Leonardo da Vinci, which seemed to strike a chord with people around the world, because I had intuited that he was indeed an archetype of human potential. Mm-hmm. And the book was translated into 25 languages, and people seemed to really relate to Leonardo, not just to develop their creative thinking ability, but to develop all of their abilities. But one thing I've learned over the years, of course, is that people, when it comes to personal development, when it comes to personal growth, everyone needs all the help they can get. So some people, you know, relate to the metaphor of Leonardo da Vinci. Other people relate to the metaphor of Thomas Edison. So in 2007, I published a book called Innovate Like Edison, co-authored with Thomas Edison's great-great-grandniece.
Yeah,
that was lots of fun. And this latest book, Brain Power, Improve Your Mind as You Age, was pretty clear need with the millions and millions of baby boomers beginning to enter their 50s and 60s. The importance of helping people specifically focus all of this knowledge that I've been questing after for all these years, focus it on how do you improve your mind as you get older. And, you know, my own personal interest, obviously, is that although I've been teaching this kind of material for 30 years, now that I'm approaching 60, it's getting really serious.
Oh, the teacher becoming the student and then becoming the teacher. Okay, gotcha.
That's the idea.
Well, I think that there's so much information in here that's good information. I really think it can apply to people of all ages. When I think of the younger people that you would think they had dementia for when you have a conversation with some of them. So, I look at that and I go, excuse me, You're supposed to be smarter than me. Come on, get with it, kid.
That's brilliant. That's very funny.
You know, that is really what we need to be aware of, is that we have a whole body package here. We have the mind-body package. But learning is something we should enjoy throughout our entire life. I really get very distressed when I talk with people. I don't care what their age is. Oh, I don't want to read. Oh, I don't want to do this. Oh, I'm so bored. You know, I just feel like putting a bucket of ice cubes and water down their back. Because they need to wake up to the reality that your brain and how you think makes all the difference in the world. All right, let's go into some of the information that you have here. And I loved one of the statements that you made about pessimists in here. You were talking, you were quoting Martin Seligman, and you said that he discovered that optimists get better results than pessimists in most areas of life. Optimists outperform on their aptitude test, don't get sick as often, they recover faster if they do get sick, they usually make good money. And then there was this one sentence, the pessimists who are reading this are really getting depressed. I love that. I said,
Thank you.
This is good. I like this. All right. I like what you say about how they're finally waking up to the reality that the brain is not something that deteriorates with age. It's something that's alive, active, and the cells rebuilt.
Yes. Yes. Well, we all grew up with a basic understanding that turns out to be utterly false. But it was an understanding that was predicated on the scientific knowledge of the 50s and early 60s. And it was the idea that your brain begins to deteriorate inevitably after age 25, and there's nothing you can do about it. But you know what changed? One of the things that changed, it's very simple, but it was profound. What changed was our technology for actually surveying the brain. We developed the MRI and brain scans, and all of a sudden we were able to look at people as they engaged in different activities through the course of their life and find that the brain was actually changing and developing and growing. So the paradigm has shifted in our lifetime profoundly from a neurostatic mindset to what we now call neuroplasticity. Neuro, of course, means brain cell, and plasticity means flexible or adaptable. So we've learned that our brains and our brain cells are flexible, adaptable, can grow and change as we get older. The new paradigm of neuroplasticity is one that you talk to neuroscientists, as both Kelly Hall and I did in our research for this book. They're all in agreement that your brain is actually designed to improve with use. The only question is, what's the best way to use it? And what we aim to do in Brain Power is to summarize for our readers the research-validated, really practical things that all of us can do, starting today, to improve our minds as we age. And as you suggested earlier, it is never too early to begin this process and to learn these kinds of habits. The opening quote of our book, of Brain Power, actually comes from Leonardo da Vinci. And Leonardo da Vinci wrote, "If you are mindful that old age has wisdom for its food, you will so exert yourself in youth that your old age will not lack sustenance." In other words, start cultivating positive habits of mind and body as early as you can in your life. Having said that, the other really good news that we've learned about the brain is that it's never too late for you to turn around your habit patterns and go from a habit pattern that is not particularly conducive to optimal functioning to one that actually supports continuous improvement. So just like you can get off the couch and begin a physical exercise program at any age, you can get off the mental couch and begin a mental exercise program at any age with profound benefits.
You're mentioning exercise brought an image up into my mind. When I was a little girl, we had a habit, and this came from my father's background in Italy because it's very much a social patterning in Europe, and that is if ever we went out to dinner or we were visiting people, you always went out for a leisurely walk. And if you were in your neighborhood, you'd say hello to the neighbors. If you were walking down a street that maybe had a lot of stores, maybe you'd go wandering, but you were moving. You just didn't sit, and you just didn't become a couch potato. There was a type of social interaction that went on. And this was very common in the life of the Italians that my dad grew up through until they came over to the United States. And my friends that are from the old country often say that this is what they do. They'll sit, they'll have conversation, they go for light walks, and they say this is just, it's conducive to a healthy life, a social life. And I think that it would be nice if people started cultivating just walking around their neighborhood and getting to know their neighbors. It's amazing how many neighbors you're going to meet when you're out walking because people seem to enjoy it, especially when the weather's nice. And it's an amazing thing. You see things. You become aware. You listen. You feel. It's really great. Of course, that's me. That's how I think.
Now, well, the way you think, though, I got to tell you, the way you think, everything you just shared is covered in the book because so many traditional cultures intuitively practiced the activities that science now tells us helps to actually maintain the health of your mind and body. So at that Italian table, your relatives no doubt enjoyed fresh and wholesome food. They had some red wine in moderation with that food. They went for a walk. They call it a promenade. They would stroll along. And it turns out that active social engagement is one of the best things people can do to prevent dementia. People, as they get older, who define themselves as lonely are much more prone to getting Alzheimer's and other forms of dementia. People who have vibrant social interaction, people who enjoy dining with others. You know, there's an old Italian saying, a tavola non si invecchia, which means at the table with others, you do not grow old.
I think that social interaction is so very, very important. And one of the things with technology that has been wonderful on one hand, but a disadvantage on the other, has been the television and the videos that you can watch at home. Well, I love it because if you have a film you want to share with other people, you can have a social thing. You can have the kids over or whatever you want to do. You can interact. But there is the aspect of being able to get away from that, to be able to get outside, get outdoors, be involved in maybe some other things that allow you to get away from computers and those situations that just keep you stabilized where you don't move. I think the reason a lot of people become couch potatoes is they're literally hypnotized by the television that they're sitting in front of. And instead of saying, well, let's just go around, walk around the mall, just see what they've got in the stores, and doing something a little bit different. And it's amazing how people don't realize they get into those routines. And it's not just the older people. It's the younger people, too. It's people of all ages that you see this with. It really does. We live in very interesting times.
Well, what you're talking about is, of course, the most important element in any aspect of personal development is mindfulness. You have to be aware of your habits if you're going to change them. You have to be aware that, yes, our world today with technology and the pressures of the marketplace, the speed at which we are exposed to information, the onslaught, I call it the tsunami of spam, that the default setting in our world today isn't one that inspires us to use our full potential, to say the least. We live in McWorld. So that's the bad news. The default setting is not very positive as far as developing your mind as you get older. On the other hand, technology gives us access to all of the great cultural, intellectual treasures of the world. We can have access to the greatest music, poetry, art. We can go and discover the cuisines of the world. We can drink the wines of the world. We can taste the great chocolate that the world has to offer. And we can get together, share this with our friends, and in the process, have much more fun than we're going to have if we're just on that automatic program, and also be improving our minds as we age.
Oh, I agree. I agree. I just love so many programs that have been on. There's so many ways that you can become more aware of things, and I think that is one of the blessings of technology, is that you can watch programs, and within maybe a half hour, 45 minutes, depending on who's put the stuff together, your mind, because of the visuals, the audio, there's not quite the kinesthetic, but it's an association you have. You become aware of other people's worlds that you did not even have a clue existed.
Very much so, very much so. So the key is, to, of course, just like with everything else, it's to take conscious advantage of that. It's to That's why it's so important for people to be aware of these simple principles of maintaining and improving your mind as you age. Once you understand that, first of all, once you understand that your brain is designed to improve with use, that you're not destined to decline, once you understand that, when you get the overwhelming evidence that suggests that your brain is designed to improve with use, well, then it's easier to be more motivated. It's easier to have a more positive attitude. It's easier to embrace new learning. It's easier to go out of your way to interact with others, meet new people, maintain and enjoy a healthy diet, which will be much more fulfilling and satisfying and will give you more energy, so that it's easier to do exercise. When you exercise, you will be getting more oxygen to your brain. Your memory will be getting better instead of worse. And your sex life will improve.
Gotcha. Now, you bring up humor. And we've been chuckling over a few things as we've been chatting. But I've got to tell you, I have to share with you guys one of the jokes that he has in this book. And what he says is, keep a humor diary. Record your favorite jokes and funny stories and share them with the people that you have company with. And here's one of his favorites. Two vultures board up an airplane, each carrying two dead raccoons. The stewardess looks at them and says, I'm sorry, gentlemen, only one carry-on allowed per passenger. Okay, then we pass that one.
I'm so glad you appreciate that one. It is pretty wicked.
Yes, it is. It's just like, okay, do we land the plane now or do we wait?
That's right.
But anyway, this is, you quote little snippets of information about people like Sophia Loren. She's in her 70s. Clint Eastwood, I don't know his age. Warren Buffett, he's what, in his 80s? You have Louise Hay of Hay House. You've got so many different people that you have quoted that have attitudes about life. And they are just wonderful things to read. And I think even if a younger person were to read this book, it would inspire them to realize, if by the grace of whatever they have the opportunity to reach the age of 80 or 90, they're going to be able to enjoy a life that's filled with potential. We have a neighbor who is in his 70s that just took up flying. He's become a pilot, and he just never had the time to do it before. And someone might say, you've got to be kidding. This guy is 71, 72 years of age, and he's starting to fly a plane. Should they let him do this?
Absolutely.
He's got excellent health. There's nothing wrong with him. He's flying a plane.
What we have to change, and it's great that we're having this conversation. People can join us and participate and think about these things, because the notion that we shouldn't be exploring new things and learning how to fly or learning a new language or traveling the world or exploring new wines or picking up a musical instrument, the notion that we shouldn't be doing these things past a certain age is utterly absurd. It actually is even more important to do those things as we get older. Those are the things that are like the fountain of youth. They keep you young and keep your mind sharp. I got to tell you, I'm speaking to you today. I'm actually visiting my mom and dad. They're in their early 80s. We're about to have a fabulous dinner, which will include a tasting of two different Italian wines, and then we're going to try three different dark chocolates for dessert.
Oh, that's great.
And the conversation is always incredibly vibrant. My folks are always busy learning new things, and I think it's one of the things that helped me, inspired me to write this book, is I'm lucky enough to be surrounded by older people who are inspirational, whose minds are utterly sharp, who are curious and focused on the future. You know, as my dad likes to joke, nostalgia ain't what it used to be. They're not focused on the past. They don't talk about the old days. They're living for now and for tomorrow, and that's why their spirits and their minds remain vibrant and young. But this book is especially important for people, you know, there's plenty of people who, first of all, grew up with this neurostatic paradigm, and they grew up with this idea that you're destined to get worse, and that they believed it. And even if they've heard about neuroplasticity, they haven't changed their fundamental mindset. And then if you have had the tragic and painful circumstances of watching someone that you know, somebody, an uncle, a parent, a grandparent, die of dementia, die of Alzheimer's. It is really hard not to think, oh my God, that is my fate, that is my destiny, and there's nothing I can do about it. Mm-hmm. Moreover, in our society, if you turn on the TV, the only image you're going to see of older people isn't a positive one. They're not vibrant and sexy. They're not flying airplanes. They're not learning new things. They're going to the doctor. They're talking to a pharmacist. As Dave Barry says in his classic work, Dave Barry Turns 40, the image in advertising of older people in America is about as attractive as death by maggot. So,
yeah.
So if you have this negative image of aging and you buy into that mindset, you're creating a negative self-fulfilling prophecy for yourself. So that's why we power in the book, the research to help you understand neuroplasticity, the attitudes that are most adaptive. We give you all these little biographies of people in their 80s and 90s, even past 100, who maintain vibrant, active, lively minds, so that you can shift your idea about what awaits you and look forward to improving your mind as you age.
Oh, I agree, 100%. I think it is absolutely pathetic when people buy into the dogmas that are perpetuated, and they need to pay attention to some things that are really shifting. There's more women, number one, after the age of 55 going back to college, and more of them graduating. There are people, I'll never forget, years ago, meeting a lady who was in her 90s. I was at the graduation ceremony. She was in her 90s. I think she was 93, 94. She had finally gotten her high school diploma. She decided she was going to go back and get it after all of her children and her grandchildren and great-grandchildren had all been taken care of relative to their schooling. You should have seen the size of that family that was cheering her on. Here she was, the oldest student they had ever had graduate from this particular high school program in Southern California. And she was such an inspiration to me because she decided she was going to go to high school in her 90s.
That's fabulous. And this, what we're after in this book, we have an ambitious goal because we want, obviously, individuals to read the book and change their practices and improve the quality of their life and improve their minds as they age. But we see this as even more important on a broader social level because everybody's talking about, you know, the healthcare crisis and the rising costs of healthcare. Just about everything that we recommend in the book is something that we can all do for free. This, mm-hmm. you know, this is and these are, you know, once you get dementia, we don't know of any way to reverse it. But what we do know of are practices that are now research validated to prevent it. And I personally do everything that's in the book because, you know, this is simple. It is practical, personal, individual approach to healthcare that will save you lots of money and save your mental acuity as the years go by. And imagine the savings in healthcare for the nation if we could get millions of people doing these simple practices.
Well, I agree. Now, I know we're just about out of time, but before we go, I want to mention some points. You have in here a quote by Siegfried Ostmer, who's PhD, and he found that brain wave training increased IQ by as much as 13 points, with some people maybe more. And brain training is evolving. Now, you have a program, the Brain Sync, Improving Your Mind as Your Age Brainwave Training Audio Program. And in the book, you have the website of brainpowerdownload.com, and you've got a coupon code that people can use, and they can download this for free. So you've got this in addition to what you've got in the book. You've also got this very special training that people can utilize right away.
Well, I mentioned before that people can use all the help they can get, and Kelly and I were dedicated to giving them all the help that we can give. So if people go to my website, to michaelgelb.com, that's G-E-L-B, michaelgelb.com, they can click on products and get the Brain Power book. They can also get lots of free articles while they're there, by the way. But if they click on the Brain Power link, they can order the book, and when they get the book, they will open it up and find this link to get the free download of my co-author Kelly Howell's amazing Brain Sync Brainwave training program. You listen to this for 20 minutes, and you can have your brainwaves in the same state as an advanced meditator. It's a program that really does meditation for you. And why is that important? Because maybe the greatest problem for our minds as we get older is stress. And again, with stress, we need all the help we can get. So we give in the book notions on how you can get better rest, how you can sleep more effectively. But then we actually have this free download of the Brainwave training program. One track will help you sleep better. Another one will help you ease into a meditative state. And this is, I use it myself on a daily basis. That's part of how Kelly and I came to write the book together. And it is free when people buy a copy of Brain Power, and they can get it at michaelgelb.com.
And I want to let you know, for those of you listening, go to page 165 when you get the book, and you'll find the information you need. So that's a Donna tip, because I've gone through the book. Michael, this has just been wonderful. I think that you and Kelly have accomplished something quite significant. I think it's terrific, and it should be in every senior facility that's around, so some of these seniors get out of their mind trap that they are not going to be able to grow. But also, I'd love to see the exposure of these attitudes to young people. But the older generation is a good example for the younger. That's going to give them something to look forward to. Of course, when you're a teenager, you think you know it all. And when you get into your 20s, you think you're even smarter. And then all of a sudden, you hit your 30s, and you say, gee whiz, did I miss the bus? And then you wonder after that. But it's really important. Life is sometimes very traumatic. Yes, there's no exemption from life happening to you. But really, it's what you do with it. And I think your book, Brain Power, How to Improve Your Mind as You Age, is more than just that. I think it is, how do you keep the power of your own individuality alive and well, so that you can look forward to your life with a sense of enthusiasm and realizing the universe is infinite, and so are the possibilities for your life experience. Michael Gelb, I want to thank you so much for being my guest. Check out his website, michaelgelb.com. It's G-E-L-B, the spelling of his last name, .com. This is Donna Seboat. We're taking a break. We're going to be back in just a minute.
Tickets now on sale for the 2012 Conscious Life Expo, February 10th through the 13th at the LAX Hilton. Bringing together an eclectic community of speakers, panelists, exhibitors, artists, and visionaries for a four-day gathering of collective consciousness featuring over 150 workshops, special events, including TV British psychic Lisa Williams and visionary scientist and author Greg Braden, as well as the film festival, live music, Programa Latino, and three exhibit halls packed with healthy products and services. For ticket information, www.consciouslifeexpo.com.
Are you taking too many oral pain pills and concerned about the side effects? Are you having trouble getting to sleep at night because of the pain? Well, I'm Lou Paradise. I had the same problems you have, cured my pain, eliminated pain pills and their side effects by developing Toprasin, pain relief and healing cream. Toprasin relieves pain without the side effects. It doesn't burn, it doesn't smell, and it doesn't stain. But don't take my word for it. Doctors, pharmacists, and pain specialists are using and recommending Toprasin and ending the suffering for thousands of people just like you. We know you hurt. We want to help. We are so sure that Toprasin will work for you. We offer a money-back guarantee. So if you want the pain relief without the side effects, ask for Toprasin. Toprasin is available at Duane Reade, Quick Check Pharmacies, and Wegmans. Ask for Toprasin or call 1-800-959-1007 for a store near you. That's 1-800-959-1007. Toprasin, the last pain medicine you'll ever need, and you can sleep on that.
Do you have a group, organization, or club that would like to have an interesting and dynamic speaker? Then you're going to want to have Donna speak to your group. She motivates audiences towards personal empowerment, giving them tools for their personal and professional success. If you would like Donna Sebo to bring a presentation to your next event, call Delphi International at 253-582-5604. That's 253-582-5604.
Hi, this is Donna. Welcome back. The telephone lines are open. If you would like to light up your life with a little bit of intuitive insight, give me a buzz. I'll be happy to help you out there. 888-627-6008 is the telephone number to call into. That's 888-627-6008. And all I need from you is your first name or your initial, and then I'll tell you what I perceive, and you're welcome to ask me a question about anything that is of importance to you. Now, you know, when we were talking with Michael, Michael is such an interesting guy, but I'll tell you, it's so good to be a part of a generation of time where, one, we have access to possibilities. How many people are you aware of that are willing and able to move into new environments? Now, by the way, I just sent out my newsletter. My newsletter will probably be up on my website if you don't get it directly. It will be up on my website more than likely by tomorrow. But we live in a time where you can find out about all kinds of things, and you're not stuck in a box. When I think of men and women, my goodness, of my grandparents' generation, and even up into the 70s, 1970s. You think of those time frames, and women were often put into boxes. Now, a lot of women broke different paradigms. But today, whether you're male or female, it doesn't make any difference. You can choose to do something that may not be the predominant, prevailing the thing for the male or the female or your age or what have you. We are in this marvelous time that allows us to be more of what we want to be. And I think that is marvelous, absolutely marvelous. But one of the things that can enrich your life is if you will go and get involved in history. Read about what went on in the past. It always tickles me whenever I am appearing at an event like the Ren Fair, which deals with medieval times. And I recall more than once a conversation with someone who's in costume and say, oh, those were the good old days. And I go, yeah, you got to be kidding. I don't mind the costumes. I like getting all dolled up. That's super. but I would no more want to live back in the medieval times than a man on the moon. The horrific butchery that went on, the medical understanding was just non-existent. You had people that couldn't read or write. Ignorance, superstition, and fear prevailed at an astronomical level. And you didn't have a hope or a prayer of breaking out of whatever paradigm you were brought into in the way of status, economically, socially, what have you. Women had maybe the opportunity through marriage, but not so lucky. And most people, if they lived to be 25 years of age, that was saying something. More than 50% of all children died. So you have all these things. We get all caught up in the fluff stuff, but I'll tell you what. Just get the movie at the library about the 1900 health. That'll cure you forever. That's a marvelous, marvelous movie. It was done in Britain, and they took a family that they decided they were going to live as if the people of the 1800s lived. Boy, did they get a wake-up call and then some. Mm-hmm. You wouldn't believe it, what they went through. It's a great movie. Get it at your public library, the 1900 health. Anyway, there's so much that we have to be grateful for. There is so much because of people in the past that decided they wanted more. They wanted to make the world a better place. They wanted to have a greater understanding. And they were out doing it. And that is what is happening today. And that is something that we need to be supportive of. We need to realize that there are qualities and characteristics of the past that are solid, sound, and will go forward into the future. But there's a lot that isn't worth 50 cents of hot air. So we need to be discerning, and we need to think. We need to be awake. We need to be present, and we need to take responsibility for ourselves, too. I think it's very important that we realize we're in charge of our chassis, not somebody else. So if we decide to stuff our faces with food that's unhealthy, and we know it's unhealthy, you don't have anybody to blame. Don't blame the food companies. Don't blame the grocery stores. Don't try to have an exclusive. I got so irritated the other day when I was listening to the news and somebody's gotten on their bandwagon and now the government is supposed to regulate everything regarding sugar. I thought, who is this person? Who are these ding-dongs that are thinking that this is going to make a difference? It's up to us. And if you say, oh, I can't do it, well, figure out a way where you can. You don't need to be a victim. There's no excuse for being a victim. Be true to yourself. Honor and respect yourself. And be willing to learn. It's an adventure. And by Jove, you're going to find your life is a heck of a lot more interesting if you take charge of yourself. But remember something. There's a lot of good people on this planet. And there's a lot of sincere, hardworking people. Don't believe 50% of what you hear on the news. So many times they want to paint it black or make it really negative. Take charge of your mind. Take charge of what you put into your mind. Look at things with an attitude of problem solving. And in my newsletter, in my editorial, you're going to find a very interesting connection to a program that someone sent me. And I think you'll find it fascinating. It's about an American who decided he was going to create jobs and support manufacturing in this country. It's absolutely amazing. Okay, give me a buzz if you'd like to chat. 888-627-6008. Well, there was a dream that a man had that totally changed his life. Now, Ernest Wallace Budge is the gentleman. His experience takes place in 1878. And when he was a child, he absolutely loved anything that had to do with the Orient. He was fascinated with Asian languages. And he just had this innate ability to be able to understand their symbols. Now, when he finished high school, he was broke. He couldn't go to university. He just didn't have the funds for it. Now, his natural tendencies of understanding the Asian language, it's like he came in with this awareness and his tremendous curiosity about life. A lot of people paid attention to him because he was very different. The English Prime Minister, William Gladstone, was a master of classical languages. When he heard about Ernest, he said, I want to meet this young man. When he did meet him, he was so impressed that he arranged for this young scholar to go to Cambridge University. Interesting how the universe provides, isn't it? Well, there was a competition offered a few years later by Professor Archibald Sayce, and this man was the greatest living authority on ancient languages at the time. And contestants were going to be presented with a 4 in-depth questions. And the winner would be able to really take a giant step forward in his or her career in education. Now, Budge had been working very, very hard. He was participating in this competition, and he fell asleep. He wanted to do some studying, but he was so exhausted that he fell asleep, and he just had energy for nothing. But while he was sleeping, 3 different times he had the same dream, and this was the dream. He was in a shed-like room. There was an examiner who removed several pieces of green paper from his pocket. This examiner gave them to Budge to translate and then left the room. He locked the door behind him. Now, the deceptive text, this is all in his dream, was in multilingual cuneiform Assyrian characters and in the equally difficult Akkadian language. He didn't recognize them. Now, at 2 a.m., Budge awakened, just like he was told to get up. And he got out of bed and began searching his textbook for the symbols that he had gotten in his dream. It stayed with him very vividly. Now, when he arrived at the school to take the examination, the situation exactly matched his dream. He was led to a small room to work in because the larger room with other contestants was full. The chair, table, and examiner were all exactly as he had dreamed them. He easily answered the questions, translated the text, and went on to become a world-renowned expert on ancient languages, translating the Egyptian Book of the Dead and the Hieratic Papyruses in the British Museum. Mind is phenomenal. There are things that I know I've experienced, and of course it was because of dreams that I ended up getting involved in the study of the psychic self. And dreams are amazing. You can have past, present, and future all in the same dream. Budge had the dream that enabled him to complete an exam because he jumped up out of bed, started researching through text, and found what he needed to know for the exam. Fascinating stuff here. What do you think? Edgar Casey would sleep on books, get information. That's never worked with me, though. I don't know, maybe it would work with you. But a lot stranger things have happened. But I thought you'd enjoy that story. This is Donna Siebel. We're going to be taking a break in just a moment. Quickly, for those of you who are listening in the Los Angeles area, I am going to be appearing at the Conscious Life Expo, which is being held at the Los Angeles Hilton by the LAX Airport. And that is going to be February 10th, 11th, and 12th, a week from today. So I will also be available while I'm there for many consultations as well as speaking on Friday, the 10th at 4 in the afternoon. Just want to let you know, and if you'd like to meet with me privately while I'm in Los Angeles area, give me a call and we can set up a time. 253-582-5604 is my office number. When we come back, I've got some other good things to share with you. So don't go away, and I'll also let you know about the guests that are coming up. By the way, the whole list is on BBS now of the guests that will be coming up this month. We'll be right back in just a moment.
Tickets now on sale for the 2012 Conscious Life Expo, February 10th through the 13th at the LAX Hilton. Bringing together an eclectic community of speakers, panelists, exhibitors, artists, and visionaries for a four-day gathering of collective consciousness featuring over 150 workshops, special events, including TV British psychic Lisa Williams and visionary scientist and author Greg Braden, as well as the film festival, live music, Programa Latino, and three exhibit halls packed with healthy products and services. For ticket information, www.consciouslifeexpo.com.
Have you ever had a friend tell you about a product they really believed in? Hi, this is Donna Sebo. Toprosin is a homeopathic cream that is just fabulous. I use it and my friends use it for relief of painful discomfort such as aching muscles and sore feet. Odorless, non-greasy, it is a product that belongs in everyone's medicine cabinet and first aid kit. Check out www.toprosin.com. That's T-O-P-R-I-C-I-N, and find out more information. You can order Toprosin online or call 800-959-1007. That's 800-959-1007. Be sure to give them the code DS30, and you'll receive a 30% discount. Toprosin, non-toxic, safe for children, too. This is a product that really works. Try it. I think you'll like it.
Do you have children between the ages of 3 to 10? Do you love children's books and collect them? Then you'll want to know about God's Kiss, the award-winning illustrated children's book that has been enjoyed by families around the world. 15 beautiful illustrations by Pacific Northwest artist Ed Gedros accompany this lovely story about a little boy named Johnny that will capture your heart and mind in a very special way. Multicultural and non-denominational in content, it will become a family favorite that you and your children will want to read again and again. This book is available by itself through Amazon, or if you contact me, Donna Sebo, directly, you can get a personalized signed copy. There is also a talking book. You can order the talking book CD by contacting me via email, donna@delphiinternational.com, or by calling 253-582-5604. You can also visit my website, delphiinternational.com. To see more details, God's Kiss is a family classic that belongs in everyone's library. Get your copy now.
Hi, this is Donna. Give me a buzz if you'd like to chat. 888-627-6008. Well, I'll tell you, Super Bowl, you're hearing about it everywhere. If you've been in the grocery store, my gracious, I never knew there were so many kinds of potato chips. I made a purposeful trip to the store this week just to walk up and down the aisles and to look at things that were on the racks. Try it sometime. You'll be amazed at what you discovered. One of the things that I discovered that wasn't there a month ago, to my awareness, at least not in a prominent spot, were listings of organic food. And when I was in there perusing the chips area, I thought, this is really interesting. We've got so many selections of items just in the corn chips and the potato chips. And then, lo and behold, there is a great big section on baked chips and organic chips. And I'm going, isn't this interesting? Organic is the buzzword of the day, but you have to really check things out to make sure that you're getting what you want. Well, Super Bowl time, all of these elements are really out in a prominent positioning because that's what happens with Super Bowl. Food time, party time, munchies, crunchies, whatever we've got. So salted nuts, salt, and then people enjoy beer quite frequently. So it's not just a pizza party anymore when you have football games. You've got all kinds of stuff. Well, I came across a oven-fried barbecue chicken that I thought you might be interested in. And you could adapt this recipe to a degree to other ingredients, but it's so simple. And if you wanted to do something special that tasted good to you, you might want to try this one out. It's a little bit different. Now, all you need to do, and you're going to need some chips for this, you're going to need 3/4 of a cup of all-purpose flour, 3/4 of a cup of all-purpose flour, 1.5 teaspoons of smoked paprika, 1/2 cup of your favorite barbecue sauce, 1/4 cup of milk, 1/2 teaspoon of cayenne pepper sauce, whatever your favorite one of that is, and then you need a package of barbecued potato chips. And you want to crush those real, real, real fine. So you can either use a mallet or just take a rolling pin, put the chips in a plastic bag, and just scrunch them really, really fine. Now, this is how simple this is. You want to have a baking pan, like a jelly roll pan, or it might be a cookie sheet, however you want to describe it, but you want to cover it with foil so that you don't have a big cleanup job. I'd recommend a double layer of foil. That's what I do to make sure I don't have to clean up a bunch of junk that gets through the bottom. Anyway, and you want to put a rack inside of the jelly roll pan. You want to preheat your oven to 350 degrees. Now, in a big bowl, you want to take your flour and your paprika, mix that up. That takes you all of about a split second. And in another bowl, you want to take your barbecue sauce, your milk, and your pepper sauce, whisk that together. And then in another bowl, you want your chips and remaining quarter cup of flour. You got it right. This is going to be a dip and roll recipe. Your chicken, you coat it one piece at a time in your flour mixture, shake off the excess flour, then you dip it in the sauce and then the chip mixture. And you place it on the rack in the oven and you bake it until the chicken is no longer pink near the bones, which is going to be about 50 minutes. Now, if your chicken starts to get too brown for your liking, all you have to do is cover it. Cover it with foil. You just put a piece of foil over the top of it, it'll be just fine. And then, in the last 5 minutes of cooking, remove the foil, and your chicken will be absolutely fabulous. You could do this with chicken breast. It might take less time cooking if you used the lean chicken breast, but a lot of people like the dark meat. So if you want to fix a whole chicken, you've got 8 pieces there, or buy whatever you want. And you can double and triple this recipe, and it's so easy. And then have a salad with it, or have raw veggies and dip or whatever. But this is goodness, going to smell good too. And those chips give it the extra crunch that you want. And if you don't want to use chips that are the standard chips, hey, all you have to do is use the baked chips. You can do that. And if you don't find, you know, if there's a big rush on the store and you don't find the barbecue chips, use some of your own favorite barbecue seasoning. Just sprinkle it right in there with your chips and just mix it all up. Use your imagination. And this recipe can be adapted in minor ways to other things. If you don't like barbecue sauce, figure something else out. What about a ranch dressing? You can do all kinds of things. Don't be afraid to try or to experiment. That's an easy recipe for Super Bowl Sunday. Donna Sebo here. Give me a buzz if you'd like to chat. And the number is 888-627-6008. Well, next week we've got a dynamic lineup of people. Betty Shotton is going to be with us on Monday. We're going to be talking about leadership. This woman has written one of the best books on leadership that I've seen. Now, she herself has owned 6 different businesses. She's very much an entrepreneur, and she is dynamic, direct, and to the point. This book is just awesome. And then we're going to be talking with Joan Anderson. She's been a guest on my show before. She wrote the story, the life story about Loretta Young, who was a big, big star in her day, and so much more. And Joan has a passion for angels. Well, this is Angelic Tales, and it's all about dogs and cats, special animals that are angels of a type. And then we're going to be talking about What is Love? Perspectives in Love by Sadie Hattendorf. And she's got some interesting attitudes about what love really is. And then the first key, how to remove subconscious sabotage. Daphna Slonim has dedicated much of her career to figuring out how to use kinesiology as a tool to get rid of your personal sabotage. Now, a week from today, as I said, I'm going to be appearing at the Conscious Life Expo, and I'm going to be speaking at 4 o'clock, so I won't be able to do my show, but we're going to have a Best of Donna, a repeat of one of the programs that has been enjoyed so much by so many of you. And then, well, I'll be coming back that following Monday, be right back in studio, and we're going to be having a whole bunch of other things to share. But that's the next grouping of people for next week, and I hope that you'll be able to join us. Remember always, you're the master of your fate. You are the captain of your soul. Don't ever let anyone tell you that you do not have a right to explore, to learn, and expand your world. And don't ever let anyone tell you that your age has anything to do with your capacity for change and developing a new kind of life if that's what you want. You are in dominion and in charge of who you are Exercise that, because it makes a difference. Don't turn your life over to other people. Take charge of your own world in your own way. It's a wonderful thing to do. Donna Sebo here. Bye for now.
You have been listening to The Donna Sebo Show. If you would like a copy of today's broadcast, send $10 to The Donna Sebo Show, P.O. Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497-0272. Be sure to put the date of the broadcast in your request. If you are not able to be a part of today's program, join Donna and her guests Monday through Friday, and she will be here to take your calls. Thank you for listening and being part of our program. Have a wonderful day.